Luke chapter number 14.
Praise God, praise God. Luke chapter number 14. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter number 14, let's start reading with verse number 16. Verse number 16 said, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many." He invited many. I'll let you be seated at that. Amen. Praise God. Verse number 17. Would y'all pray for me? I need God's help. Pray for me, will you? Dear Jesus, I need your help, God. Lord, touch my mind, my body, my spirit, Lord. Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I need your help. I need your help, Jesus.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank Jesus. Thank Jesus. Thank Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Well, let's just run out that door and give me I need some water. I need some water. Hurry up, run, Bill. Amen. Verse number 17 said, "And sent his servant." So we've got this certain man. Jesus is speaking of a parable here. "A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." Amen. He didn't need them. I need them. I apologize. "And they, with one consent, began to make an excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." He didn't even ask for any apology. He just said, I can't come. My wife's the boss. Amen. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, It is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is still room. Amen. And yet there is still room. Excuses. What is your excuse today? What will be your excuse? What will be my excuse? To understand this setting of Scripture more thoroughly, it is understood that many turned down this invitation to the banquet. And mostly due to an inconvenient time of one thing or another. We too often can resist or even simply delay a man responding to an invitation from God. Our excuses at the time may seem reasonable and fair, whether they are work duties, whether they are family responsibilities, whether they are financial needs, or whatever the cause may be, we seem to always be able to justify the reason why. Amen. Amen. Nevertheless, God's invitation is the most important event in your and my life. No matter how inconvenient it may be for timing purposes or whatever the excuse might be. Amen. I want to ask us this morning, are you making excuses to avoid responding to the call of God? Are you using or making up excuses to avoid responding to the call of God? Jesus reminds us that the time will come when the invitation will stop, and it will be too late to come to the banquet. Amen. My mind has been on heaven off and on this past week, even thinking about some of the things I said on Wednesday night and earlier on in the week, things of reading that has been going through my mind. I want to make it to heaven more than anything else. It was a custom of that day that two invitations would be given out, and one would be first of an announcement of the party. Then the second one would be the actual time that they would come. And if we get to looking here in the setting of Scripture, we can see that the first invitation that God made to his people was through the man Moses and through many other prophets. And they had finally gotten to the place, the Jews had finally gotten to the place of the second invitation, and that was when Jesus came. You see, they had been told throughout the Scripture that Messiah would come, and they missed it. And we can take this same setting of Scripture and apply it to our lives, that right now is our first invitation. And our second invitation for the time of the Gentiles will soon come and close out history. Amen. There is coming a time that Jesus is going to part those clouds. The last trump is going to sound. And we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with those that have gone on to be with the Lord. Amen. To forever be with him. The question is are we ready? Are we ready? And as I begin to read and begin to study some more in the Word of God, you know, Jesus taught quite a bit on hell. We don't teach very much on hell. We don't teach very much, really, as much as we probably should, on heaven. Amen. I know I said this last Sunday. I'm going to say it again. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Right.
Amen. There is a place that we can spend eternity. And I don't want to just go along in a make-believe world, but I want to make my calling and election sure.
Right. Right.
All of us at some point or another of our lives have gotten an invitation, have we not?
Yeah.
Amen. And how many of you have gotten an invitation at the bottom that says RSVP?
Right.
And they want you to reply or give an answer, amen, so they have enough seating, so they have enough food, so everything is prepared in advance for your pleasure, for your enjoyment. And here today, the setting of Scripture really is an RSVP for the people that would like to call heaven their home.
Amen.
Amen. for people that would like to call heaven their home. An excuse.
I read this and I thought this was kind of unique. I'm going to give you a few different things, little blurbs of other people that had said things about excuses. An excuse is a false reason, a fake reason why someone cannot do something.
Right, right.
Amen. An excuse. Excuse in this particular setting, when you look at the original Greek and Hebrew, the definition of it, it means to shun, to decline, or to avoid, or flat out refuse. And so here sometimes we have bought into the ideology, if I can say it that way, that our excuse is reasonable and it is valid, and therefore we don't feel guilty about it. We don't even think twice about it. It's just the way it is. But when we look at that, we are flat out refusing. We are shunning God's invitation. Let me say it like this too, avoiding. How many times has somebody, maybe this has happened, I don't know, maybe it hasn't, you've been invited and you say no because you're trying to avoid them?
Oh yeah.
You've gotten that invitation and you thought, oh man, well, I gotta be busy that day. Or you acted like, oh, nobody's ever done this before. You acted like, oh, you know what? Let me check my calendar real quick. And you're holding it to where they can't see it. And you go, I've got something going on that day. I'm sorry, I can't make it.
Right.
And you know you ain't got nothing on there, but you just put something in there.
Right.
You're doing everything. Now, some of you wouldn't do that, but I know some will. I know some have done it. Because they're doing everything that they can to avoid hanging out, being with that person, going and doing that. I hate birthday parties. My kids know that. My wife knows that. I don't know what it is. I just don't like them. And so if I can do anything to get out of going to a birthday party, I want to do it. And that most of them, they say, well, you've been there with your kid. I know, because I've been forced to. And could never come up with a good enough excuse to avoid it, right? This is just the way it is. It's your kid's birthday. You're supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to be there, but I don't want to be there. Amen? An attempt to lessen the blame, attaching itself to a fault or an offense. A reason to defend or justify oneself. In other words, there are plenty of excuses for not walking with God, but not one good reason.
Right.
All those invited to this great supper began to make excuses why they could not attend. In verse 17 it said, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, that were bidden. You already got the invitation. Come, for all things are now ready. Is there anybody in the house that has prepared a meal and has said, hey, dinner's ready? And somebody shouts back at you, I'll be there in a minute.
Yeah. Right.
How do you feel? Well, I know how I feel, and yet I still do it when my daughter says, hey, Daddy, dinner's ready. Okay, I'll be there in a minute. And then she has to come back out the second time. Dinner is on the table. My wife says, it's getting cold. You know what? They're getting irritated. Anybody ever get irritated? When you've prepared a meal, you've done something, and you say, come on, let's eat. And they come on straggling in, and then 25 minutes later, and then they want to complain about how cold the food is. And you want to just go kick them in the teeth. Hey, don't be complaining. I told you when dinner... Come on. Everybody's been there. You've heard the call to dinner. You said, five more minutes. I'll be there in just a second. And it makes you so aggravated. One of the first things that stands out to me is that there was an invitation to this supper. It was already planned out. It was given plenty of notice. You should have been plenty prepared for this day to come. As a matter of fact, you should have been in anticipation for this day to come.
And yet, the first excuse comes in. I bought a piece of property, and I must go see it.
Now, wait a second. Where's the property going? Now, wait a second. I got a question.
He bought it.
You mean to tell me you went and you bought a piece of property without even looking at it?
Hello?
Yeah.
Anybody see anything wrong with that?
Yeah.
How many of you have bought something without even seeing it? Well, there's a few things, a small ticket item, but has anybody ever bought a house without looking at it? Just go, I'll buy that one. Pay now. Not even look. Not even look at the deep. Nobody's going to do that. I mean, you may not be a mechanic, but if you're going to go buy a car, like this guy that bought a 5-year Gaboxin, and he got to go prove it, he bought a car without going and seeing it.
Right.
At least have somebody go kick the tires. Make sure. Huh? But that's really what was happening here. This man bought a piece of ground. He bought this piece of real estate, and he hadn't even seen it. But he knew this day was coming. Amen. This other guy did the yoke of oxen. Seriously, same thing. You didn't test drive it. You didn't make sure that the engine was even running before you bought it. You didn't make sure that you didn't get some halt and maimed and got one eye hanging out of their head and half dead and got three legs.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't make any sense, does it? These excuses that when you first look at, and then I love the last guy. He's, I got a wife. That's the biggest excuse for me. I got a wife. Can't do it. That's a pretty sorry excuse. That's a pretty bad excuse. Amen. And so many times, and don't act like all so pious, y'all. Don't act so pious. There's many times that we've all blamed our spouse for not going somewhere. Oh no, my wife, and she's nowhere around to defend herself, but guys do it all the time. They do it all the time. My wife and my wife and my wife, and I want to go. Shut up. It's you. Quit blaming it on her.
Right.
Ladies, same thing. Oh, my husband. Stop it. Just knock it off. It's not your husband. Just say you don't want to go.
Right.
Oh, we blame it on our kids. Well, my kids and da-da-da. Stop! Quit blaming it on everybody else and just take responsibility.
Right.
If you don't want to go, just say, I don't want to go.
Amen.
Right? Oh, but we don't want to look bad, so we go, oh, well, we'll blame it on somebody else so we don't look so bad, so it's somebody else's fault and not our own fault, and we reason it away, and we make this excuse, and all of a sudden now we feel legitimate in our decision. Man, it's quiet in here. It seems so many have excuses why they won't serve God. Let's look at a few excuses on some reasons why people may not come to this great supper. This is one that I hear often. And I hear this, I want you to think with me on this. They see the crowds doing X, Y, Z. So they say everybody else is doing it, right? And so that's a justification for their actions. This excuse is to justify them in their wrongdoing. Seems people feel there is a rightness in, if rightness is a word, in numerical superiority. How's that? You know, because, well, how can that church be so big and be so wrong?
Right.
Right.
I said last week, and I'll say it again. How can the Pope be so big and over this great institution, religious institution, and stand and say and denounce that hell is even real? I'm telling you, that got under my skin. That has really, really got under my skin. And then when all of the other bishops and priests and whatever, they all started conversing about it, they're trying to reason away what the Pope actually said.
it's not. I read the lengthy article. Go look it up. Go look it up. You can read the whole article. It's all over the place. It's amazing. And how they explain everything away. And so oftentimes in our mind we think, well, how can so many be wrong? People have a hard time with the teachings of righteousness because the rest of society lives so differently.
That's right.
So they have a hard time with, well, why do I have to dress or look or act or talk like this? But I'll give you a great case in point, a beautiful example. That's my brother Barrett over there. He gets a touch of God on his life like none other, and what happens to him? He quits drinking cold turkey. Done. It wasn't because of, listen, I don't think. Randy, did you bug him and nag at him about quitting that? Did he just do that on his own? You've asked him before, right? And you've never been able to do it? But God. But God.
Amen.
But God can. But God can deliver you. God, and you know what? There's a lot of things. I remember even Brother Dan and Sister Kit. There were some things that even in their world that they didn't ever hear any preaching on, but they got full of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
They got full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
They got full of Jesus. And Jesus began to work on the inside of them. And they got rid of it. Because they realized that there were some things that just because society is going this way doesn't make it right.
Right.
And so this everybody's doing stuff doesn't fly.
Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. No. That came up, we talked about it the other day, and that's been in my head, my brain, it was a
Another version of the same excuse is, how could so many be so wrong? Isn't it amazing how many people, didn't Jesus even say, many are called?
Right.
But few are chosen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Didn't he say that wide is the gate? Wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that enter thereat. But narrow is the way, narrow is the gate, and few. And so, let me just remind you what the scripture said. Just because the masses are doing X, Y, Z, doesn't mean that it's okay. You see, if we roll back here not too long ago, you see, living together was absolutely a no-no. Period.
Right.
But now everybody lives together. Why get married?
Right.
Why get married? Because if we got to get a divorce, man, we just walk away from each other and it just be okay.
That's right, yeah.
Why do you think? Well, I'm going to tell you what happens. In our society. So now, and promiscuity amongst our young people is just, it is unbelievable. Where it was taught in the home not too long ago, where young ladies were to keep themselves virtuous.
Right.
Young men were to keep themselves virtuous.
Amen.
But now, is that a thing?
No.
Absolutely not. No, we have our college professors, we have our teachers that you gotta experiment. No, you don't have to experiment.
Amen.
And they say, well, everybody's doing it. No, everybody's not doing it.
Right.
I don't care what society says. So I just want to dispel that excuse that when we hear those things, or even us making those mistakes by saying, well, everybody else is doing it, that's not fair and it's not accurate.
Right.
Amen.
I remember when I was a young person, and they said everybody was doing it. And there were a lot of people that were having sexual relationships as young people. But I wasn't. And I'm somebody. I said, well, you're being proud. No, I'm just telling you, you can do it.
Amen.
You don't have to live just because of the peer pressure of the world and of society. Just because the masses are doing it doesn't mean that they're right. Isn't it amazing how people are so willing to conform to unrighteous behavior, but resist righteousness on the grounds of, I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want to be told what to do. Don't tell me what to do. But yet, you get around your friends. Oh, come on, smoke a little bit of this. Okay. Come on, let's do this. Let's go out. Oh, you be persuaded and conformed to unrighteousness so easy.
Right.
So easy. Unrighteousness just could come over there and take you by the hand and say, hey, man, let's go have a party. Yeah, see how easy that was? He didn't resist at all. You just go along. We're just going to walk right off the cliff. Come on. Go to hell. Huh? There's no resistance there.
Man.
There's none.
All right.
It's so easy for somebody to go, oh, yeah, everybody's doing it. Everybody did it. Oh, come on. And to unrighteousness, everybody just fits in this mold. But to righteousness, everybody, don't tell me what to do. Bless God, I'm my own person.
Right.
Really? And that's why you're following blindly and just following one after the other?
Bless Him, Lord.
Right.
Bless Him, Lord.
Yeah. I just want you to know, I want you to realize that it takes a real man to live for God. Because
right.
Not every man is looking at pornography at lunchtime.
Right.
Hello?
Amen.
Not every man is womanizing as every woman walks down the road and whistling at her and thinking thoughts that he shouldn't be thinking.
Right.
Huh? Oh, hallelujah. Not everybody is doing it.
Right.
Yet the Bible tells us, be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mindset needs to change from conformity to sin to conformity to Christ.
Yes, amen.
Oh, hallelujah. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. While everyone else was in Sodom and Gomorrah, living it up. Do you realize that's where we get sodomy from? Is from this city.
That's right.
It was full of sodomites, homosexuals,
right.
Disgusting filth, sin, rampant. That's where it came from, is in the Bible. Sodomy came from the Bible. Got it?
Right.
Yeah, it's in there. It's in there. Man working with man, which is unseemly. It ain't natural. It don't work that way.
Right.
God said, multiply and replenish the earth, and it's not with Steve and Adam.
Right.
Sorry, right. Brother.
Huh? No. It ain't the way it was. You can't. Hey, doesn't nature itself even teach you that this is wrong?
Yeah.
It doesn't work this way. You can't procreate that way.
Right.
I don't care how you slice it or dice it. You can't do it. You say, oh, you're being a hater. No, I'm not being a hater. I'm just going to preach to you the word of the Lord. And I'll get there in a minute and prove to you that it don't matter what the sin is. It don't matter what vileness it is, whether it's lying or homosexuality, whether it's murder or cheating. It's all punished the same.
Yeah.
It all is a death penalty.
Right.
You don't have to be some grotesque sinner to be lost.
Right.
You can be a simple white liar.
Yes. Right.
Or one that, I got it. I forgot. We're talking about excuses. I didn't really lie. It was just, you know, evangelistically speaking. Stretched it out there a little bit. Yeah, sure.
I just stretched it. I'll tell you, while Sodom and Gomorrah was in grotesque sin, Abraham was out there walking in the desert by himself. While everyone else was living it the way that they wanted to, eating and drinking and giving in marriage, laughing and making fun of that crazy preacher, Noah was building a boat. Noah was building a boat. While everyone else was rejecting Adam, Enoch was walking with God. There wasn't very many on the face of the earth that knew what God was all about. But Enoch walked so close with God. You know how desperate, and I don't want to make God sound like he's desperate, but yet at the same time, if you understand what I'm trying to say, you know what that meant to God to have somebody that wanted to walk with him? You know how precious that was to God to have somebody that was so interested in who God was and communing with him? Because you want to know why? Because it was a real wicked, wicked time in the world. And there was a man that was walking with God, that was thinking what God loved, what God hated. He was walking according to God.
Yeah. Amen.
850 prophets of a dead religion were screaming, cutting themselves, laying themselves on an altar, hoping that their God would answer. But Elijah, all by himself,
right.
prayed a prayer and made sure everybody around knew that it was going to be God by pouring so many barrels of water over that sacrifice. And fire came down from heaven. The power of God came down. Why am I saying it? I'm saying this to get our attention and to get us focused in the right direction. That so many times we'll think because there's so many that are doing this and so many that how can this be wrong?
Right.
Times have changed. Oh, I've heard that before. Times have changed. We don't live in that time anymore. Stuff has changed. Oh, yeah, I know. I know things have changed. I know things have changed. Yea, and in all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Let me tell you, that's the day that we're living in. It is getting worse and worse. Time is changing.
Yes. Amen.
Time is changing, and it's not getting better. Say, man, that's you preaching doomsday. No, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get to the good part here in just a little bit. I'm not preaching a doomsday. I'm preaching, hey, is there somebody that is willing to say, I'm done making excuses of why I can't live for God with everything that's within me?
Right. Amen.
Why I don't do this and why I don't do that. And how about Matthew 24, preached here just not too long ago. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Many, many, many. Hear that? Many, 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 many. Hear that? Many, many, many. Just in case you didn't hear it. Many. Huh? And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. Don't get in fear. Don't get all messed up. Don't get all scared. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall be and betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Look at all the many, 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 many this, and many that, and many this. And then he says, and he that endureth to the end. Notice the change there. Singular. You see the contrast? It's many are going to do this and many of this, and we see it all over. We see it all over constantly. Yes, times are changing. The world is getting worse, but God is so good. Politics, they change and change and change. In order to be a politician, I think the very first thing that you have to be is a liar. I won't get into that. Societies change. Huh? Customs change. Fashions change. But God's word, God's word never changes. He said, Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, hallelujah. In Malachi 3:6, he said, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Psalms 119 and 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Things are constantly fluctuating and changing at such a dizzying pace, we don't know whether they're up or down. Huh? If you want consistency, if you want stability in an ever-changing world, let me tell you, there's an open invitation to getting to know Jesus, because he remains the same. I said he remains the same. No matter what's going on in your world, no matter what's going on in my world, he remains the same. John 5:39 said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What he's talking about here is the religious leaders knew what the Bible said, but they failed to apply its words to their lives. And oh, and we aren't living in that very day. Everybody wants to say Jesus. And did you know, did you realize, and I looked this up, and I don't even remember where I heard it, but I heard it somewhere as I was listening to something or I read something, and it was like 80-something percent, I think it was 80% or more of the people in America consider themselves to be Christians. 80%! Now let me ask you about your job. How many people, if 80%, that means out of 10 people, 8 of them are Christians. Let's talk about how your job is. How many of them act like a Christian?
Right.
8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 say that they're a Christian, but they don't act, don't talk. And even those that are trying to do it sometimes struggle, like myself.
Right.
Like many of us.
Amen.
Come on, let's just be real.
Amen.
Let's be real.
You're right, Pastor.
Oh, hallelujah. And so that's what was happening here. Those religious leaders, they knew what their Bible said. Just like many of us, we know what our Bible says, but are we applying it?
Right.
Are we applying it? The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approach. What a day? That day of the coming of the Lord. He said, forsake not. Why? Because this is where you find strength. This is where you get direction. This is where God can touch your mind. This is where God can touch your children. This is where God can heal your marriage. This is... Oh, I can keep on going on this whole long list. But we make excuse of why I can't. We make up all kinds of false reasons why we can't. They knew the teachings of the scripture, but they failed to see the Messiah, and as he stood right before their very face. They knew the scriptures, and yet the high priest said, crucify him, put him on the cross. And they knew the scripture. They knew everything. They knew the rules, but they missed the Savior. Yeah.
Yes.
I said they knew the rules,
but they missed the Savior. Entrenched in their own religious system, they refused to let Jesus change their life. And oh, what a change he can bring, right, Brother Barrett? Oh, what a change Jesus can bring, right, Sister Randy? God can bring about a change. Sister Randy told me just the other day, she said, I would have never thought we'd be here. No way. Never in a million years. I would have never dreamed this was it. Yeah. But oh, what a change. Let me switch gears for just a second here and say, I'm fearful of those that made the change 20 years ago if we haven't become so complacent that we have forgotten. Oh, what a change. Have we become, has this become so mundane and so haphazard and so lackadaisical that we're not as passionate as we used to be? We're not as zealous as we used to be. Therefore, we've let a little bit of this creep back into our world and let a little bit of, like a dog returning to its own vomit.
Amen.
Oh, what a change! Huh? That's what the Bible said. The things that we once forsake, we go back and we embrace them again. How? How can this be? I'm begging you today, don't become so involved in religion that you miss Jesus. Because there's a lot of people today that have become involved in religion and they miss Jesus. People will say, I don't believe it like you do. People will justify their sinful ways by saying they didn't know, with ignorance. What I don't know won't hurt me. Oh, yeah, it will. You walk off that cliff, if you don't know there's a cliff, and you walk off it, you're getting hurt. Bad. Maybe dead. What you don't know will hurt you. What you don't know may kill you.
That's
right.
Don't buy into that. The issue is not believing like everyone else. We must believe what the Scripture said. You don't have to believe what I believe. Because if you just believe because I believe, I'm afraid you miss the whole intent of the invitation.
Right.
Right.
Because come judgment day, guess what, honey? I ain't getting you in the gate.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to stand there and say, oh, hold on a second. Now this guy, he really needs to go. Don't send him over there with the goats. You know, he paid his tithes. Oh, hallelujah. Big deal. He paid his offerings. He did really good in tithes and offerings, yeah, but he lived unto himself his whole entire life. Guess what, folks? I don't get to give anybody a free pass. This becomes very personal for you to obey, for you to live according to the Scripture, not because of what I've said.
Amen.
That's why in the Scripture it said, they that were of Thessalonica were more noble, were more noble than those the Bereans, excuse me, I got it backwards. The Bereans were more noble than them at Thessalonica because they sought the Scripture daily to see whether it be so.
Right.
Excuse the reference, I'm not trying to be a hater, I promise. They didn't just give an old Baptist nod.
Right, right. Yeah, right.
Right.
No, they went, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to read that. I'm going to get in that Bible. I want to know. I want to know. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And I know I got to hear the preaching of the word in order to be saved. But I got to do more than just hear the word. I got to do it. I got to get it on the inside of my heart. I got to inscribe it on the tables of my heart. And 3 times a week for 3 hours a week isn't going to get me where I need to get. I got to do more. This invitation. Oh, this invitation. There's more. Many will say it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. That's true. As long as you're sincere, it don't matter what you believe. That's why all the Satanists are going to heaven. They're not.
Really? You're kidding me. All the atheists don't believe there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no God. They sincerely believe that, so they've got to be all right. That's what's being preached today.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's get some scripture in here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who will now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, talking about the wicked one, Satan, who coming after is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. This is mixing both the false prophet and there's a whole bunch of Revelation stuff in here. I'm not going to get into all that, okay? Just listen. And with all deceivableness, get that, deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. I'm going to tell you, it is the intent of the false prophet. Well, again, I'm not going to try to get into that. And now the intent of Satan to deceive us in all unrighteousness.
Right.
He wants us to believe that it's okay to live however you want to live.
That's right.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Do whatever you want to do. You know why? He don't want you to really live for Jesus. He wants company in hell.
That's right.
And that's why the scripture said that hell hath enlarged itself. Hell is in a constant construction phase. That's scary.
Yes, right.
That scares me. Some of us can sit week after week, month after month, even year after year, and really not be that concerned about our eternity.
Amen.
Jesus, help us. It said, because they receive not a love for the truth, they get into all of it. They get into this power and signs and wonders, and they're all messed up in deceivableness of unrighteousness, because they receive not a love for the truth, that they might be saved.
Right.
That's right, Jesus.
You know what? I know this is what's going to happen even here. This is going to happen here. It's going to happen all over the place. That there are going to be people that say, but I knew you, because even the Bible said this. I did this in your name. I did that in
right.
your name. I went to this church. Guess what? You said, well, I went to Souls Harbor and the truth was being preached there. That is not going to get you to heaven.
Right. Amen.
He said, that receive not a love for the truth.
Right.
Isn't that a true saying? Truth hurts. Because truth gets right down to the nitty gritty.
Yep.
That gets into your gizzard. You know what they said a long time ago? Way down deep. Way down deep. You got to get this word of God way down deep.
Right.
Oh, God. I got to hurry. I got to hurry with these invitations. I'm going to tell you, though, if we don't find a love, we don't get a love for the truth. We got to love the word of God. And for this cause, the Bible said, God shall send them a strong delusion. For what cause? Because they did not love the truth.
Amen.
They believed the lie.
Yep.
That they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Atheists, again, they're sincere. Does that make them right? No. Mark 13 and 21. And then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ. Lo, here is Christ. Believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall arise and shall shew signs and wonders to subdue
seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Do you understand that there's people running blindly? I read it not too long ago. There are, I think it was 56 self-proclaimed Christs right now on the earth. And they have massive followings. They have a huge amount of worshipers. One guy, I saw a picture on him. A picture of him. He's being carried in this throne by a bunch of women. All these women have him. They're carrying him on his shoulder all over his 1,800 acre compound. And he's a self-proclaimed Christ. The Bible even tells us it. But it even said, now this is what scares me to death. While there are many doing that, there are even some. The very elect. Those, even the few, even those that are on the straight and narrow may get an idea. Well, I wonder if that's right. I wonder if this is okay. I wonder. Lord, help us. How about the excuse, I don't understand? I don't understand it. I've heard people say that before. Well, I don't understand all that's in the Bible, okay? How many things in life do you use that you don't understand? Let's talk about one. Electricity.
Right.
Huh? Yeah. Electricity. How many of y'all use electricity? Right. How many of you understand electricity? There's one or two of you. But we all use it. Right?
Yes.
We all use electricity, but we don't understand it. So the excuse of I don't understand it doesn't really fly. How about how sewage becomes drinkable water? Oh yeah, I figured I'd get that response. But they do it all over the place. All the time.
Right.
I don't understand that. Yeah, but you certainly want water.
Amen.
Huh? Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean I can make an excuse and put it aside. Romans, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Bible even gives us this place in Scripture that I'm going to be without excuse. Oh God. We don't have to understand. Hear me. We don't have to understand everything before we live for Him. There are some of us even today, we don't understand all there is, and we can make up that excuse, but I just don't understand why, and I don't understand how come. It's okay. You don't have to understand it all. Come on. You can do it like the Bible said, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. But oh, friend, please don't make the mistake of refusing the invitation to heaven. Please don't refuse. Please don't avoid the invitation. This final excuse is the saddest of all. Some will say that they're just too bad to be saved. They've just done too much to be saved. They've just sinned so much that there's just no way. The enemy of your soul will do his very best to convince you and I that we are too much of a sinner in order to be saved. But 1 Timothy chapter number 1 verse number 15 said,
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Oh, hallelujah. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said that I am chief. I'm the biggest sinner of them all. Can you imagine Paul declaring himself the worst sinner? Paul persecuted the church. He killed saints. He even blasphemed the name of Jesus Christ. Yet his writing, he pens so many scriptures that come to us even today. One of those was in Ephesians 2 and 7. That in the age to come, that is today, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Some will say, I just can't do it that way. I'm just too much of a sinner. No, that's who Jesus came to save. Nowhere is it substantiated in the Word of God at all that he came to save people that had it all together, that were already saved, that were already perfect. That he didn't come to save any of those, but he came to save those that knew and that know they need a Savior. You see, the mercy of God is his character. It's part of who he is. God's mercy is described, and I can give you the scripture reference real quickly. It's described as great in Numbers 14 and 18, Isaiah 54 and 7. His mercy is described as rich, Ephesians 2 and 4. Manifold, Nehemiah 9:27, Lamentations 3:32. His mercy is plenteous, Psalms 86 and 103. His mercy is abundant, 1 Peter. His mercy is sure, Isaiah 55. His mercy is everlasting, there's 10:12 of everlasting. His mercy is tender, Psalms and in Luke. His mercy is new every morning, Lamentation. His mercy is high as the heavens, Psalms. His mercy is filling the earth. Psalms 119. Psalms 145 and 9 said, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. There's an invitation to a supper. There's an invitation to a supper. There's an invitation to heaven today. And while we may deny, while we may shun, while we may do everything to avoid, while we may even flat out refuse, it is upon this servant today to call, to make the invitation known. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Today is a day to live for God. Don't put it off for tomorrow. For tomorrow very well might be too late. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. He is slow to anger. He is plenteous in mercy. So would you today quit making excuses? Would you today, as the end in Revelation says, be ye zealous therefore and repent?
Would you today commit yourself to the mercies of Almighty God? Would you stand? Jesus, on multiple occasions, he said, come unto me. In one place he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come, take up your cross and follow me. Oh, there's so many places that he said, come to me, follow me. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The constant invitation. There were things that were said in a more, maybe a negative light. Why do you sit in darkness? Why halt you between two opinions? Choose this day. Why halt you between two opinions is another place. You're trying to balance it all out. Is it really worth living for God? Today it may cost you a friendship. It may cost you a few things in this life. But honey, I'm going to tell you today, it'll be well worth it when you hear the Master say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What's the excuse today? What's the excuse today? There's some even today. I know, I understand this. Some of us are already reasoning it away and saying, I live for God already. I've done this and I've done that. And I've been baptized in Jesus' name. And I've got the Holy Ghost. And I come to church and I pay my tithes. And I don't talk like this and I don't do this. And I don't drink this and I don't smoke that. And I don't do it. Really? If you think that that's what living for God is all about, you've missed the entire deal. You missed it. Why? Why did Jesus even come? He came because he wanted companionship. He wanted a relationship with his creation. And that's what he wants again today. That's what he wants again. He wants you. He wants you. He wants a relationship with you. But our excuses are flat out refusal. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it some other day. When? Can I ask you today, when? There's even some, you hear me? Hear me today. There's even some of us today, this very hour. You've lived for God for X amount of years, but you still haven't made that choice to really live for Him. There's still something in your closet. There's still something in your back room. There's still something hidden in your heart that you don't want nobody to know, that you've been very careful to not expose to anybody, but still make everybody think you're doing right, but there's still something wrong on the inside. There's an invitation being made. There's an invitation being made. Don't make excuse today. Don't, please, I beg of you, don't make excuse today. Don't put it off another day. Don't put it off for a later time. Do it today. Make a commitment. Consecrate. Dedicate your life to Him.
I'll stop here by making an invitation to prayer. Will you pray? Will you pray? Will you make your calling and election sure? Will you take the time? Will you take the time that is necessary? I don't want to make an excuse. Oh God, I've made so many excuses. I've made so many excuses. Jesus, help us, God. Come on, brother. Don't make that excuse any longer. Come on, sister. Don't make that excuse any longer. Come on, why don't you step out of your aisle there? Why don't you step out of where you're standing and make your way to an altar? God, help me, Jesus. God, you see what I'm struggling with. You see this internal turmoil inside me. I haven't really given it all. Come on, he sees and he knows that internal struggle. Come on, men. He sees the war that rages in your mind and in your heart. Come on, ladies. He sees the struggle. Answer the call. RSVP today. Please respond. Please respond. Please respond. Lord, I want to make it to heaven more than I want anything. I want to make it to heaven. I want that mansion that you prepared for me. I want to be there. Come on. Come on. RSVP today. RSVP today. Respond to Jesus today. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to give you my very best, God. I'm not interested any longer in just giving you what's left over. I'm not interested, God, in just giving you my leftovers of what I've got. But I want to give you my very best. I want to give you the best of my life. I want to give you the best of my energy. I want to give you the best. Jesus, Jesus, come on. That's it all over this house. As we pray, as we pray, as we seek God this morning, come on, will you cry out unto the Lord? Will you cry out unto the Lord? Will you cry out unto Him? Jesus, have mercy on me. Come on, it's okay. Maybe you got some repenting to do. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me of my spirit. Forgive me of my raunchy attitude. Forgive me, God, of the error of my way. Forgive me, Jesus.
Will you make a commitment today?